Swans have ended a 20-year drought. Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
It's round seven on the Monday Waffle. My name is Joel Saratsis. I'm joined in the studio by Josh Garlop and Verity Hughes. Guys, how was the weekend of footy?
Great, big weekend.
It was. Had a great weekend.
Verity, we'll get straight into the games. West Perth, Claremont.
It was the first waffle match ever played in Coolin, which is 382 kilometres inland out of Perth. Big shout out to any listeners we have out in Coolin. I'm actually a Wheatbelt girl myself. I grew up in Quaritting, so I know where Coolin is.
There you go.
I think it's really great they had it out there. Apparently got the got about 750 there to watch the game, which is pretty great.
That's fantastic stuff.
It's probably like, that's most of the town, surely.
So West Perth versus Claremont. The final score was West Perth 15-11, 101 to Claremont's 15-4, 94. West Perth, they trailed at every break before coming home in the last quarter to win in a thriller by 7 points. A lot of contributors through the midfield for them, with two-time best and fairest Shane Nelson the standout. He had 36 disposals in his second hit out of the year. Luke Meadows, 33 disposals, and Rowan Kerr, 30 disposals. Andrew Strike and Joel Leeson both continued their good form, bagging 4 goals each, and were impressive up front. Great win for the Falcons, who face East Perth next week in a huge matchup.
That's a big win for them, definitely. Claremont been up and down this a bit season, haven't they, Josh?
Definitely, they've had some good wins, but I think probably as the season goes on, they'll probably find a bit more consistency. They have a good solid group with a lot of veterans. A
few notes for the Claremont team. Ex-Saint Tom Ledger and Kaifa Yu led the way with 20 disposals each. Albany product Darcy Cameron, he is a tall man. He continued his great 2016 with another 4 goals, now equal leading goal kicker in the waffle, booting 16 goals in the first 7 rounds. So that's pretty awesome.
That's a huge effort. He's averaging about 4 a game, so he's doing
really
well
there. So do we
well
think he's a contender as well, Joel, for the Sandover?
Possibly, yeah. Forwards generally don't poll as well as midfielders.
Why is that? They're kicking the goals. It's the same in netball. What's the deal there?
You know, Verity, that's a very good point. Usually the midfielders win these awards. We'll have to take it up with the umpires.
Another ex-Saint and Eagle Bo Maester booted 3 goals up forward. Jack Richardson and ex-Eagles Ryan Neitz both kicked 2 goals. So the Claremont team sit just outside the 5 and 6th place, and doesn't get any easier because they're going to be playing South Frio next week.
Yeah, we'll be looking to rebound after their loss, which we'll get into a bit later. Josh, Peel Thunder played Perth and Peel Thunder had a big win.
Yeah, so Peel Thunder defeated Perth. It was a huge win. It was actually the biggest win in Peel Thunder history. 77 points was the final margin, and it was 19-923. The Peel Thunder defeated Perth 7-4-46. Probably the difference was the 14 Fremantle Dockers suiting up for the Peel Thunder. They really dominated every contest. Dockers, Clancy Pierce, Tanner Smith, Ed Langdon, and Matt DeBoer, D-Floor DeBoer, all led the way. Key fact with D-Floor, he had 10 tackles. He's always been a hard-nosed tackler in the AFL.
Yeah, it's usually what he gets Dockers call-ups for, isn't it? His hard front pressure. So, yeah, he's done really well there. He might be getting a call-up to the Dockers next week, I'd say.
You'd hope so. And also went for and kicked 2 goals. There's 3 goals from Nick Subin, Shane Yaron, Matty Ubergang, and Gerald Ugal, the captain, also with 3. Shane Yaron was looking great this week in his first full game of footy back since I think it was the grand final last year when he was playing for Subi.
Yeah, got drafted off to the Dockers after that, so... Yeah, first game for Peel, and he played well up forward. For the Demons, unfortunately, Josh.
The Demons, another ex-Saint, Clint Jones. Your boy, Verity.
That's your boy,
yeah,
is that right?
I reckon he's a gun, and I reckon he's going to be a big contender for the
Sandover. He was good on the day. He had 30 disposals.
He's always good.
Mm. And Marshall Jones, kicked 2 goals up forward, but there wasn't too much for the Perth in this round.
Yeah, bottom of the ladder. They want to keep their season afloat, I guess. They're really going to have to win next week against the Swans, who are also struggling a bit, and they're coming off the bye. So it should be an interesting game. Moving on to Subi South Frio. This was the game of the round, guys, going in. Both teams unbeaten. It was Subi who got the win in the end. 15-16, 106 to South Frio, 10-15, 75. It was the former Bulldog, Ben Sockle, who came back to haunt his old team with 7 goals. That's a massive effort. He played just 11 games at South Frio in 2 seasons and was seeking a fresh start at the end of last season. And he ended up at the Lions, who were seeking a forward, and he did a fantastic job up forward for them. The Lions led by 37 points at halftime and held off a fast-finishing South Frio, who got to within 2 points in the last quarter, but it was the Lions' back line that was brilliant. Aaron Hill held Ben Saunders, who's been brilliant up forward for the Bulldogs, goalless. And Declan Jackson also held Mason Shaw, the ex Port Adelaide play a goalless. So good defence all round by Subi. And it was another recruit, ex-Royal, ex-East Perth boy, Hamish Shepherd, who was good up forward with 3 goals. Lee Kitchen was good in the midfield with 27 disposals, along with Clancy Wheeler, who had 24. For South Freo, unfortunately, they couldn't knock Subi off their perch. Brett Mooney did a good job on Ashton Hams. He nullified his influence in the first half. But then Hams moved back in the second half and ended up leading the way for the Bulldogs with 26 disposals, as he usually does. Love Hamsy. That man. Hamsy, love him. New recruit Shane Hockey was good in the midfield with 24 disposals. And Jacob Dragovic was good up forward with 3 goals in his first league game for the club. Marlon Pickett contributed well with a massive 10 tackles, 18 disposals and a goal. And, well, they'll be looking to bounce back next week. And Verity, the final game in the round, you were there.
I was indeed, yeah. I was down at Medibank yesterday. Actually, you know what? I was trying to look around to see if I could get a grab from some of the supporters. And it was really difficult because blue and white everywhere. And the supporters, like, both have dark blue and then the white sort of trimmings. But on the field, it's obviously easier because we wear the white.
Blue and black and blue and white. So this is Verity's report. Let's have a listen.
Round 7 of this year's Waffle Premiership season concluded on Sunday with the East Fremantle Sharks conceding the first 4 goals of the game to kick the next 7 and beat the East Perth Royals by 37 points at Medibank Stadium. East Perth began kicking the opening 4 goals and appeared a strong force, leading by as much as 26 points. But then the Sharks then secured the last 2 goals before quarter time, courtesy of George Hampson and Cameron Eardley. East Fremantle then dominated the second term with goals to Jamie McNamara, Brett Peake, Liam Anthony, Mitch Boyle, and then Liam Anthony again as the Sharks held the Royals goalless to take a 22-point lead at half-time. The Royals were able to break through with a goal 9 minutes into the third quarter, courtesy of Corey Adamson, then another goal to Fraser McInnes that got the Royals back within 10 points. Craig Wolfe's second kept East Perth in reach, but East Fremantle had gained momentum and didn't slow down. Late goals before three-quarter time from Brandon Ellis, Matthew Watson and then Hampson's second to start the fourth term saw them open a 28-point advantage. Cameron Eardley, who we spoke to last week, delivered a best-on-ground performance, so well done to him. He had 34 possessions, 11 marks, 6 tackles, 6 inside 50 entries and a goal. Jamie McNamara also had a ripper game. In the last quarter, he took an epic mark inside 50 and then finished off with a beautiful goal, and he was happy to come out with a win.
Oh, look, to turn things around after quarter time, you know, it was a real sign of maturity from the group to address what we went where we went wrong at quarter time and come out and play the way we wanted to. And yeah, it was nice to slot one in the end there as well.
After today's win, are you feeling confident in versing Subi next week?
Definitely, yeah. We're really excited to, you know, see how we match it against the best and see where we're at as a group. But we definitely think, you know, if we can put solid four-quarter performances in, we think we can challenge anyone.
The ending result was East Frio coming out with that win 93 to the Royals 56. So it'll be an interesting game next week as East Frio go in to verse Subiaco, who are undefeated.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle. Oh,
yeah. Come on, we're now joined by Mark Reddings, Channel 7 broadcaster, avid Waffle supporter and follower. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Absolute pleasure.
You were down at Medibank Stadium yesterday for the Sharks versus the Royals. What did you think of that one?
Really good performance by East Fremantle after East Perth got the jump in the first quarter, averting 4 goals. But to give the East Fremantle midfielders their due, they were outstanding after that point. The likes of Cameron Eardley, who finished with 34 disposals, kicked a goal. Jamie McNamara, Liam Anthony, Jesse Crichton, they had just a band of runners who got their team back into the contest. And after quarter time, they dominated, in the end running out winners by 37 points. From a West Coast point of view, Xavier Elias came back into the side, and Ellis was impressive with 24 touches, and Fraser McInnes kicked a couple of goals. But certainly East Fremantle, with 3 wins on the board now for the season, probably getting reward for their good form in the first part of the year.
And the game of the round, Subi versus South Freo, what did you think of that game? Did you think that the margin would draw out that far?
Well, I think it just shows you how good this Subiaco side is. They managed to find a way against any team to win, and they've done that so well this year that it's hard to see them not going very close to winning that hat-trick of premierships. And on the weekend, as you say, it was a challenge by South Fremantle, who were unbeaten heading into the game. But as it turned out, a 5-goal last quarter by the Lions, enough to get them across the line. And all you have to do is look at some of the players that have run out for them this year and the experience they bring to the table. When you think of someone like Lee Kitchen, had 27 disposals yesterday, the recruit from Frankston, Clancy Wheeler always stands up. And what about this 7-goal haul to Ben Sokol, who was a former Bulldog, bobs up at the Lions and ends up being a match winner.
Came back to haunt them, didn't he? Country footy, Mark. Out in Coolin, West Perth played Claremont. How good is that for WA footy, just to get out there, give the people... Apparently they got 750 down to the game. It's a good effort, isn't it?
Well, it's great to see that people are getting to local footy, and more importantly, that the WAFL is showcasing the talents of their best players in these country areas. As for the on-field activities, West Perth, an important 7-point win over Claremont, which was built off the back of what was a very steady performance in the second quarter, 4 goals, just setting them up. They were a goal behind at half-time, but they really did have the better of Claremont after half-time. So for West Perth, they looked a bit shaky themselves only a couple of weeks back. Shane Nelson coming back into that side after a pre-season mishap, 36 disposals, and Joel Leeson booted 4 goals. So West Perth getting out to the country, and their fans, those that travelled out to see them, would have been very satisfied with that result.
Yeah, it was a good effort. And just lastly, Mark, the Demons struggling as they usually do, unfortunately.
Well, it hurts to say that and hear that because I'm a Perth supporter going back many years, and unfortunately it's not been a good time for the Demons for the past 30 or 40 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's stretched into last weekend where Peel Thunder booted 19-9. The old Demons just managed 7-4. You have to say that there's some urgency required in finding out whether Perth's season is completely gone. They've only had one win for the year, and on the weekend they were just completely dominated. You have to say that Perth, their next win, it could be a while off yet.
What do you think Perth needs to do to improve? Because they did have a good recruitment. So what do you think they need to do in order to step up?
Look, as you say, Angus Graham came into the side, had 33 hitouts on the weekend. He's an experienced player. The likes of Clint Jones getting lots of the footy.
He's really great, isn't he?
Verity's boy, Mark. She loves him. Clint.
The former Saint and South Fremantle player, 30 disposals again on the weekend. He just racks them up. But unfortunately, at least at face value, there doesn't seem to have been much support for him in the midfield. Tropiano kept to 15 touches on the weekend, the Sandover medalist. Essentially, they haven't been able to kick a score, and that's been an issue. I think they've kicked 4-19 and 4-15 thereabouts. So they really have been inaccurate, but I'm not too sure if we could pinpoint the answer to the Demons' woes in 30 seconds, the club would be turned around straight away. But unfortunately, they've got a huge hole to climb out of if they're going to make anything of this season.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us, and
thanks,
look
Mark.
Forward to watching your call next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks, Mark.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down.
I'm Josh Garlop. This is Garlop tipping. No more Birchie. She's out. I'm in. Let's tip.
Garlop's tipping.
Just the tip. Garlop's tipping.
Garlop's tipping. Bam, 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 bam.
It's a bit of a
stitch up. So good.
Verity. who's going to explain that one? Okay, so Birchie's not in the studio today. It is no longer Birchie's tips. It's Garlop's tips. Josh, what happened in the tipping this week?
Well, Birchie's out, obviously. So, but on top of that, Birchie finished last this week, but it was a close round. Birchie and Kelly Haywood on two.
Ooh,
only getting two right,
so
but everyone else
punishment.
On three. So it was a close round. And after round seven, we're on... It's still pretty close. I'm in last place on 11. I've taken over tipping this week to sort of pump myself up for the weeks to come.
Yep.
Kelly Haywood's on 18. Birchie's on 18 still. They're in first place. Soph and Joel Saratsis on 15. And Verity, you're on 14. So you're in second last place and I'm in last place.
Yeah, look, I reckon I'm going to end up with the wooden spoon for sure,
well,
to be honest.
Wooden spoon's final end of season punishment. Josh, now you get to decide the punishments now. Seems it's your tipping. So.
Well, yeah, so now it's my tipping show. I don't know, maybe just whoever loses has to pelt some sort of off fruit at Birchie. Is that something? Can we do that anyway?
All right, that was Garlop's tips. Look forward to this segment every week, Garlop.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, it was a lot
more
fun than
Birchie's. They're just joking, Birchie. Don't worry. Still your segment.
I don't know. We'll do an arm wrestle or something like that.
Guess who's back again.
Adam's back.
Tell a friend.
He's back.
Guess
I am the original creator of the Monday Waffle, Adam Papalia, here back in the studio. 10 years strong it's been running. Make sure you tune in to the Monday Waffle.
10 years strong we've been going. Can you believe that? 10th year of the Monday Waffle.
I reckon this year's the best, obviously.
Hopefully Adam's not listening any...
Kidding, Pap. Kidding, Pap allowed.
How good was he? He came in during the week.
He's a legend.
Recorded a few promos for us. Great bloke all round. Thanks so much for coming in, Adam, if you're listening. And
he'll definitely be listening.
I'm sure he will. He created it. So him and Narrowly Meadows 10 years ago, and it's still going. How good is that? Verity, looking forward to next week. What have we got coming up?
Round 8, the One Life round. We've got Claremont versus South Rio, Subi versus East Fremantle, West Perth versus Peel Thunder. They're all at 2:15 on the Saturday. And then at 2:40, we've got Perth versus Swan Districts. East Perth have a bye.
Josh, just a quick look at the ladder as well.
Subiaco still undefeated with 6 wins, 0 losses. South Fremantle suffering their first loss on the weekend now with 5-1. Peel Thunder are on 4-2. Then we have a bit of a logjam with East Fremantle, East Perth and West Perth with 3 wins apiece. And West Perth just dropping out of the 5. At the bottom of the ladder, we have Claremont on 2-4. And then Swan Districts and Perth, 1-5 apiece.
Just the one win just between one them. Win.
So Sophie Clappen will be very happy with her lines.
Yeah, Subi, yep. They're unbeaten. And once again, they're looking like the team to beat in 2016. Guys, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week on the Monday Waffle. Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.